February 15th, 12 noon. Okay, everyone. Thank you and welcome. I'm so glad to see everyone here at our bonus class. Whatever happened to Yitro, where is Yitro? And remember, tomorrow we continue to more days of the five-part learning, We Were Like Dreamers, Our Return to Zion. I just want to mention that our learning today and all week was generously sponsored anonymously in the schus of Rachel Delia Bat Elisheva Chaya Zavora. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay. So you can. Let's just wait a moment. Okay. We're going to be doing today the story of Yitro and the family of Yitro. When we hear of Yitro, we only think he's mentioned in a little bit in Shemot, and that's it. But actually, Yitro's and has a close connection with Am Yisrael, which lasts for hundreds of years throughout Tanakh. Hundreds of years. And what we're going to really do today is just a journey through Tanakh and see what happened to Yitro and what happens to the family of Yitro. We'll see some very, very, very special, beautiful stories about Yitro and his family. There's one story that we all know, and I'm going to skip that one story because we have a lot to do today. And that's the first meeting with Yitro when Moshe meets up with Yitro's daughters, and the daughters of Yitro bring him home. That's the first time he's introduced. The next time we'll find Yitro is in this week's parasha, when Yitro comes to Moshe. And I want you all to open up in this story. If you're assuming you all have the same edition that I have, it's on page 394, 395. If you're holding a different chumash, open up to Shmot Perek Yudchet Pasuk Aleph. Okay. Page 394. Vayishma Yitro Kohen Midyan Choten Moshe et Kol Asher Asa Elohim LeMoshe Uli Israel Amo Ki Hotzi Adonai et Israel Mimitraim. Yitro, here's everything that has happened with Am Yisrael with Yitzhak Mitzrayim. Yitro comes with his daughter and his two sons. If you recall, in Parashat Shemot, when Moshe is on his way to Egypt, it seems that he had sent his daughter and sons back home. That's what we can understand from here, so that they shouldn't have to come to Egypt with him. He's going to be very busy in Egypt. That's what we can understand here. Achar shiluchei, that they were sent home.
They were not in Yitziat Mitzrayim.
So it seems from here that the family did not come to Egypt with him. They were on their way, but then they went back home. They did not make it to Egypt. They stayed with the father-in-law until Moshe is going to take care of all the business of getting Am Yisrael out of Egypt. The story here is a difficult story for several reasons. And we're going to try to simplify it as much as possible. Yitro comes, he gives us his advice about the judicial system in Am Yisrael, and with all the, he's the one that invents a bureaucracy here, I guess. And the story ends with, let's go to the end of the story, Perek, page 400, verse 27. How does the story end? We understand from this, he comes for a visit, gives his advice, brings Moshe his wife and children, and then he goes back home. And the next story is going to be Matan Torah. Why is this difficult? Because let's open up to one other story before we make sense out of all this. Open up to Sefer Bemidbar. Parashat Behalotcha. Chapter 10 in Bamidbar, which is page 785. The story in Sefer Bamidbar, on page 785, takes place a year after our story. Am Yisrael leave in Pesach, in Nisan, in Nisan. The story in Sefer Shemot, when Yitro comes for the first time, seems to be some point between when they left Egypt and received the Torah, sometime in those 7 weeks, between what we call Pesach and Shavuot. The story ends with him leaving before they received the Torah. And then what do we find suddenly, a year later? Verse 29 on page 785. Pasuk Chaftet. Yitro's there again. So why is Yitro here again? And Moshe's talking to Yitro. He has a different name, but it's the same father-in-law. Choten Moshe. So what's he doing there? The commentaries are divided into two as far as how to understand what's going on with Yitro's weird appearance. The easiest way of solving this is to say, the desert's not so far. Yitro came once, and then he came again. Okay? That's the simplest way of solving why do we find Yitro before Matan Torah, and why do we find him a year later? Because Yitro's family's away, and he comes, and he comes, and he visits. That's the easiest way of explaining this. The Ibn Ezra says, no, the Ibn Ezra argues, and it's not the only time he argues this here, that the Torah is not always written in a chronological order. Sometimes there's other considerations in writing things other than chronological order. A history book, you would want to write in a chronological order. This is not a history book. And there are certain values and ideas that you write in a certain way so that you can, in order to pass over those ideas. And therefore he says, this story, Yitro does not come to Moshe before Matan Torah. Yitro only comes a year later. It's a very sad Ibn Ezra, because according to this, Moshe's sons missed Matan Torah. And it happens to be very tragic, according to Ibn Ezra. But according to Ibn Ezra, Yitro does not come here. Yitro only came in Sefer B'Midbar. And there's something that fits in nicely with this, because what is Yitro telling Moshe? Set up a judicial system, and the judicial system will judge the people. If he came before Matan Torah, there is no system. There's no the judge. What are the judges going to judge according to? He's trying to set up. And Moshe likes this idea, and he's very excited about this idea. But there's not. How can judges judge if there's no law yet? So it fits in very nicely to say that this story of Yitro really did not take place here before Matan Torah. Yitro only comes for the first time a year later. As I said, it is very tragic that Moshe's kids missed the best show, Matan Torah. But you can't just say that the Torah is not written in a chronological way. Whenever you say that, you always have to explain if it happened later, why is it written as if they came now? If Yitro's family, Yitro and his children, only come in a year from now, only come in Sefer B'Midbar, and they didn't really show up here right after Parshas B'Shalach, right after Yitziat Mitzrayim, then why write it here? Wouldn't our class be so much easier if the Torah was written as things happened? Why put it here? And here is where Ibn Ezra makes one beautiful comment. And he says, the purpose of writing Yitro here, you shouldn't be focusing on what happens afterwards. Rather, what is the story that happens right before the story of Yitro? So open the previous page. What's the story that happens right before the story of Yitro? I'm very good. The story of Amalek. And Ibn Ezra says the juxtaposition of the two is so that we can contrast between Amalek and Yitro. Both Amalek and Yitro are foreigners who had seen what had happened to Am Yisrael, who had seen Am Yisrael leave Egypt, had seen God taking care of Am Yisrael. And each nation, each one of these foreign nations, shows how to respond in light of the events. Yitro comes and joins Am Yisrael. Amalek comes and fights Am Yisrael. And it's a very important lesson that Ibn Ezra is teaching us. It says, the interpretation of events is man's free will, how he chooses to interpret the events. This is how Amalek chose to interpret the events, and this is how Yitro. And Cassuto, who's a wonderful Italian 19th century commentator, a really beautiful commentary of Cassuto, suggests, takes Ibn Ezra and develops it even more. He says, if you look in the text that describes Amalek,
and you compare it to the text that's describing Yitro, you'll see many similar phrases. We're not going to go into all of them now, but I'll just give you a few ideas. Moshe is going to tell Yehoshua, Machar, tomorrow, go fight Amalek. And in the story of Yitro, we also have Vayehi Mimacharat. We're told about the story of Yehoshua in the battle of Amalek, that he sits there until sundown. Vayehi Yadav Emuna Ad Bo HaShamesh. They're fighting until sundown. In the story of Yitro, we also have, Yitro tells Moshe, why are you sitting here, min haboker ad ha'erev? In the story of Amalek, Moshe tells Yehoshua, bechar lanu anashim detzehi lachem, choose people. In the story of Yitro, when he chooses the judge, he says, vayivchar, choose people, righteous people as judges. The same verb is used. Moshe says, I am standing on the mountain. The word nitzav in the story of Yitro, why the same verb nitzav, to stand, which is not a common verb. I think it's very convincing, this kasuto, the nitzav, the machat, the tomorrow, the standing, choosing, sunset, and a couple more that I've mentioned. Is that these two stories are meant to really be viewed as mirror image stories, opposite stories of each other, and that's why it's put here. And Yitro really, really comes, according to Ezra, later on. So
let's go to Sefer. Well, you already opened up in Sefer Bemidbar. So assuming that Yitro, whether he comes before or whether he comes after, is less significant than the fact what is to be learned from where the story is positioned. And it's an important position where how this foreigner, Yitro.
Parshas Behalotcha, Sefer Bemidbar
divides up in a very clear way into three sections. The first third of Sefer Bemidbar, chapters 1 to 10, Sefer Behalotcha, is the excitement and getting ready towards entering the land. There's that pasuk that we sing in Shul, Vayi bin Tzoah Ha'aron Vayomer Moshe Kuma Hashem. That pasuk, if you look in your Kumashim, I think it's even on this page or on the next page. Yes, on the next page, from page 786. It's written between these two upside down nuns. That's really where the Chumash should have ended. Because that was their last, that those two verses, when the ark traveled and the people with Moshe would say that your enemy, God's enemy, should disperse, is describing what should happen when they enter the land. This is where the Chumash should have ended. And after that, they came into the land. This should have been the end. What happens after that? They start complaining and fetching. So the first third is the excitement towards entering the land, up to that pasuk. From there onwards, it's all going downhill. From that pasuk, until chapter 20, until Parashat Chukat, it's the story of a nation that's going to be in the desert for 40 years. It's all those high hopes that go down the drain, basically. That's the next third. From Parashat Chukat, the cutoff date is really Para Aduma. Why Para Aduma? What is Para Aduma about? That's what they've been doing for 40 years, burying the dead. Para Aduma is about purification from the dead, from after touching the dead. That's what they're doing, 40 years, they're burying people. That's all they're doing. First third is towards Eretz Yisrael. Second third of the Chumash is the nation that's traveling 40 years, Arba'im Shana Akud Bador, the 40 years of the desert, and the last 10 chapters, 16 chapters, last third of the Chumash is the generation that's going to enter the land. This verse that we're reading about Yitro, we're going to read a little story here about Yitro, it's a beautiful story about Yitro, is before they've sinned. They're about to enter the land. Let's read this inside. Page 784, verse 29. Vayomer Moshe lechovav ben Reuel hamidyani choten Moshe. Nos'im anachnu el hamakom asher amar Adonai oto eten lachem. Lecha itanu vehetavnu lach ki Adonai diber tov al Yisrael. Notice with one word, that key word that repeats itself. Tov, tov, it's repeated itself many more. Good, good, good. We're going to the good land. Nos'im anachnu. There's a very famous recording of a shir of Rav Soloveitchik when he's teaching a parsha shir on this, and he's in tears when he reads this pasuk. Nos'im anachnu means we're about to go. They're so close to getting in. We're on. This was the last travel. This should have been the last travel. We are about to go into Eretz Yisrael. Little did Moshe know what's going to be right afterwards. He says, Nos'im anachnu, we're on our way. And he turns to Yitro, come with us to Eretz Yisrael.
Lecha itanu, join us. Ve'etzavnu lach, ki Adonai diber tov al Yisrael. You know all the good things that God has bestowed upon us, so join us. How does Yitro respond here? Vayomer alav, lo elech, ki im el artzi vel moladetzi elech. I'll go to my own homeland. Those of you who are familiar a little bit with Tanakh, this sort of reminds me, this is an opposite of Abraham.
Levichom et artzichom im moladetzucha. Leave your homeland. And Yitro says,
I'll stay in my homeland. Moshe again tries to convince him. Vayomer, al na ta'azov otanu. Ki al ken yadata chanotenu bamidbar, vehayita lanu le'einayim. Don't leave us.
You know our travels. And here he uses a strange phrase. Vehayita lanu le'einayim. What does that mean?
He knows the language.
So anybody who knows, like Bedouins, are good trackers. They live in the desert. They know the desert conditions. So he tells them, you will be able to help us. You'll be able to show us the way. You will be our eyes. That's one explanation. Another possibility, the Hayita Lan Le'enayim, is if you join us, that's the best PR. Kohen Midian, the headlines in the newspaper, Kohen Midian leaves everything to join Am Yisrael. Hayita lanu le'inayim is the way you'll do us good publicity. Another possibility for the good publicity is not for the foreigners, the nations, but Am Yisrael will feel good. The hayita lanu le'inayim. And I want to give a fourth possibility. What is the hayita lanu le'inayim? In Sefer Zechariah, it talks about in one of the parakim there, it discusses God's caring for Am Yisrael. And it uses the phrase, hanoger bachem, the pupil of the eye is something that is well protected. God protects Am Yisrael like we would say the apple of the eye. So we say the pupil of the eye says the Hayita Lanu Le'enayim, we will protect you as though you were our. There's something precious as a person's eye. We will look out for you. The Hayita Lanu Le'enayim. Let's continue reading more verse. Let's see what happens. V'haya ki teilech imanu. V'haya tov ha'hu asher yetiv Adonai imanu. V'heitavnu lach. He's trying to constantly add more. He's trying to convince him. So, first of all, we're going to look after you. We're going to protect you. And then he adds, he's a convert. The land is divided up to the tribes. The converts do not have sections of nachalah in the land. So what does he say? We will make sure that the tov that we get, what's the tov that we're going to get? The land? We will make sure to give you land. V'hayah ha-tov ha-hu. That good which we will receive, we will make sure to look out for you and to give you land. How does the story end here with Yitro? Look inside. What happens with Yitro? We don't know. You're right. We don't know. It doesn't say. Did he come or did he not come? According to the Ramban, that this whole story is the same story, same time that of Sefer, according to Ibn Ezra, that says this whole story takes place here, then we'll have to take the information from what it says in Sefer Shemot. How does Sefer Shemot end? Yitro goes home. So maybe he went home. We don't know. It doesn't say. It leaves it open. Leaves it open here. We really don't know. But we won't leave you on a cliffhanger. We don't know what Yitro does here, whether or not he comes.
But I will tell you, in Sefer Shoftim, those of you who have a Tanakh can open up to Sefer Shoftim, Perek Aleph, we see that Yehuda, the tribe of Yehuda, is conquering territory in the area of south of Israel. Hold on. Chapter 1, verse 16. For those who have a Tanakh, I'll read everything. So in the story of the conquering of Yehuda, we're told, Uvnei Keni. Keni is the descendant of Yitro. So it says, Uvnei Keni, Choten Moshe, Alu Meir Hatmarim et Bnei Yehuda, Mitbar Yehuda, Shebnega Farah, Vayelet Vayeshet et Ha'am. We're told here that the family of Yitro, and from here on the Tanakh is no longer going to refer to them as the family of Yitro, from here on the Tanakh is going to refer to them as the Keni. The Keni, someone in the family's name is Keni. The family of Yitro is the Keni. The family of Yitro lived in near Ir Hatzmarim. What's Ir Hatzmarim? Yericho. They reside somewhere there, so they did end up coming. They did. Moshe kept his promises. We'll look out for you. The tribe of Yehuda takes care of conquering territory for the Keni, and the Keni live within Israel. Does anybody know what's the next story where we're going to find the Keni?
Yeah.
And we read this in last week's Haftarah. So those of you who are not holding a Tanakh, open up to the Haftarah of Parashat Bishalach. It's the longest Haftarah. I'll let you know in a minute exactly what page number it is. It's on page 300. Oh, wait. Oh, it doesn't appear right afterwards. Oh, I see. Okay, fine. 1182. Thank you. No. That's not that tough. No. That's not that tough. 1152. That's how I've been talking. 1152. 1152. Okay. 1152 is the Haftarah. I want us to look in the story of the Haftarah. Yes, you're done. Verse 17. Visisra. Sorry, 11. Verse 11. Vechever hakeini nifrad mikain mibnei chovav choten Moshe vayet ohalo ad elon b'tza'ananim asher et kedesh. There's a guy by the name Chever. Chever is from the family of the Keni. The Keni, we know from the beginning of Sefer Shoftim, they all live south of Israel. Yericho, south of Israel. This guy Chever and his family moved to Kadesh Tza'ananim, which is north of Israel. It's probably somewhere in the area of Emek Yisrael. North of Israel. Now this is a very key pasuk to understand what the story in the Haftarah. The philosophy of the ideology of the Keni, is they are loyal to the owners of the land. They show allegiance to the owners of the land. North of Israel, up until this battle, this is going to be a very important battle, north of Israel is under the rule of the Kanaanim. The Canaanites are running the show north of Israel. That's why this was a very, very important battle here of Devorah. It was to get rid of all the northern Canaanite kingdoms. So Chever, who left from the south up north, is now loyal to Yavin. Yavin was the Canaanite king. The southern Canaanites are loyal to Tom Yisrael. Sisra, the general, the general that's describing the story, when he is searching for refuge, whose door is he going to knock on?
Keni.
On Chever HaKeni. Because what is verse, now read verse 11, 17. What does it say in verse 17? This is Yisra Nasbragla, but all Yael, the Eshet Chever HaKeni, Ki Shalom Ben Yavin Melech Hatzor, Ben Beit Chever HaKeni. He can trust them because he knows that the Keni are going to be loyal to him, and therefore he doesn't have any problem knocking on the door of Yael, Eshet Chever HaKeni. Little did he know, Chever might be loyal to Yisra, but Yael is reading the map. Yael here is very similar to the character of Rachab from the story of Yehoshua.
who reads the map, the political map correctly, and recognizes that the real owners of the land are going to be Am Yisrael, and therefore, what does she do? Let's first read two verses. Right, she tells, and these are important words.
Verse 18. Sura Adoni, Sura, come here, get up, Sura, come to me. Don't fear. Vayasar leha oil v'tachaseu b'smicha. Vayomer leha hashkini na me'at maim ki tzameti.
Give me some water, I'm thirsty. Now what does she really give? What does she really give him? Why does she give him milk? Now, if she really wants to get him to sleep, what should she have given him?
Wine.
Keep that in mind, because that's the key for understanding what's happening to the family. That she gives him milk and not wine, just keep that piece of information in your mind at this point. And she ends, the end of the story is known, she kills him, and that's how that story ends. Today, by the way, who sees themselves as the descendants of Yitro? The Druzi. And the Druzi till today are the same. There's the Jews of South Lebanon who are loyal to the Lebanese, and they're the Druzi who are in the Galil, and they're loyal, and they serve in the army. They are the trackers. Them and the Bedouins are the trackers. They're the Hagita Lanu Be'einayim until today in the army. So they, and their prophet is Yitro, and in South Lebanon they have even a tomb of Yitro, and that's their belief till today. The next time we'll find, so the Yitro family split up somehow, the northern and the south, but the south family still remains an important family within a known Yitro family. They're not Jews. They live as descendants of Yitro, Canaanites. Anybody know where we'll find them, the next place that we'll find them? So let's open up. Mazah?
Shaul.
Very good. Shaul. Here you have to open up to another Haftarah, since we're using an art scroll, not a Chumash. Open up to the Haftarah of Shabbat Zachor, if you find it.
It's on page 1214.
1214. The Torah Parshat Zachor is the battle of Shaul against Amalek. We'll see once again that that Yitro is always juxtaposed with Amalek. It's not just in our Parsha, but also here in the battle of Amalek.
When Shaul sets up camp, the Amalek are nomads that attack Israel from the south.
And when Shaul goes to set up camp south of Israel,
he sends warning to the Canaanite to get out of the line of fire. He says, there's going to be a battle here. Get out of the line of fire. Let's read this in verse 5. Vayavosh Shaul ad ir Amalek vayarev banachal. He sets up camp. Vayomer Shaul el hakeni. Shaul tells the Keni, Lechu, Suhu. Now, does the word Suhu remind you of anything?
Yeah. In the same words that Yael saved Am Yisrael when she killed Sisera. What did she tell Sisera? Sura Eli. In that same word,
Shaul's going to look out for the Keni. And he'll say, Lechu, Suru. Get out of the line of fire. Lechu suru redu mitoch amaliki pen osifcha imo. The next sentence, I think, proves beyond any doubt the Ibn Ezra that we started our class with, that the Yitro is the opposite of Amalek, and that's why they're always put together, Yitro and Amalek. Ve'ata, you, ve'ata, as opposed to Amalek, asita chesed im kol bnei Israel. Be'alotami Mitzrayim. You, unlike Amalek, have shown kindness. Vayasar keni mitoch Amalek. And he leaves, Amalek gets out of the way, gets out of the line of fire, and he is he's protected. And it's no coincidence that Amalek and Yitro will always appear side by side.
This is not where the story of Amalek, of Yitro, ends at all.
This story takes place at the very beginning of Malchut in Am Yisrael, where we have monarchies in Am Yisrael.
Several hundred years later, towards the end, before exile, we find once again the family of the Keni. The family of the Keni, lived as nomads. And Yirmiyahu, if you have a Tanakh, it's in Yirmiyahu chapter 35, Perek Lamed Hei. Yirmiyahu, in year 597 BC, 598 BC, in the time of the king by the name Yehoyakim, not the last name, one before the last name, two before the last name, Yehoyakim, not to be confused with Yehoyakim. There's a battle. The Babylonian king comes to attack Yerushalayim. It's not the final attack. It's just an attack to remind the Judean kingdom to pay their taxes. It's an attack. During this attack, we have the following story. Those of you who don't have, you don't have full Tanakh, you'll listen. It's a wonderful story. Chapter 35, Lamed Hei. Okay, I'll read and I'll translate. Hadavar asher hayah Yirmiyahu, God's word to Yirmiyahu in the time of Yehoyakim, ben Yoshiyahu melech Yehudah leimor. Haloch el beit harechavim. Go to the family of the Rechavim. The family of Rechavim is the family known from Divrei Hayamim. Book of Chronicles is the family. No, this is not Rechav Techet. This is the Rechav. Rechavim. This is a family of the Keni. The Rechav is with the family. This is the family of the Keni. They're descendants of the Keni. So Yirmiyahu is told by God to go to the family of the Keni. We'll see where you need to go to soon. And bring them, invite the descendants of Yitro, invite them to one of the courthouses, one of the boardroom in Beit HaMikdash. Outside Beit HaMikdash is what's called a lishkah. Invite them, and then when you invite them and they're all sitting around the tables, give them to drink wine. And he brings representatives of the family. Verse 4, Va'aviotam Beit Adonai, I brought them to Beit HaMikdash, to one of the offices, and he serves them each large goblets of wine. Va'etem lifnei bnei Beit HaRechavim, gviim meleim yayin v'chosov. He gives them bottles and goblets, and he says, shtu yayin, drink. I've invited you to come drink wine. And then they have their response. Vayomru, lo mishte yayin. We do not drink wine. And of course, now we all understand why Yael does not have wine in her house, because they do not drink wine. Lo mishte yayin. We don't drink wine. Why don't we drink wine? He are Zaydi. It is Zaydi by the name Yonadab ben Rechav. What can also be mentioned in Tanakh in the time of Izeda. Our Zaydi gave us he had a moral will. And there's such a thing in Hebrew called Tzava'a Musarit. Tzava'a Musarit is a moral will. Things that were important to Zaydi Yonadav. And this is what he told us. He told us the following. Leimor, lo tishtu yayin atem uvnechem ad umah. We're not allowed to drink wine. Uvayit lo tivnu. We cannot build permanent homes. Vizera lotizrau, we cannot work in agriculture. Vicherem lotizau, also agriculture, we can't plant vineyards. Velo yelachem, kim kibe ohalim, teshev kol yimechem, we have to live as nomads our entire life. Leman tichyu yamin rabin, pnei ha'adama hasher tum gavim sham. Our Zaydi Yonadav said, the way to guarantee permanence on the land is by not having any permanence. By not living a permanent life, that's what's going to guarantee permanence on the land. Before we try to explain this tzava'a, let's continue reading the story. And they turn to Yirmiyahu and say, Vanesha Bohalim. For years we've been living a non-permanent life. We've been living as nomads, and they've turned the situation, they were nomads,
into an ideology. Alechatchila, vaneisha boalim, vanishma, vanas kechol asher tzivanu Yonadav avinu. We followed everything that Zaydi Yonadav had told us. And why are we here now in the city? Vayihid. Now there's an attack against Yerushalayim, and it's not safe to be outside. We don't have a permanent home to protect us. Vayihid be'alot Nebuchadnezzar, melech Bavel.
Al ha'aretz vanomer bovenavo Yerushalayim ve'chelat hazim. We're only here for a little bit. We're just here because it's not so safe outside. But as soon as Nebuchadnezzar leaves, we're going to go back to our tents.
And here, after he does that, now Yirmiyahu has to understand, why did God want me to invite these people over? What's the message of all this? This is what we call a symbolic prophecy.
They're coming, everyone outside in the city, what do they see? They see this non-Jewish family going into one of the offices in Beit HaMikdash, Yirmiyahu giving them wine, they're refusing, and they're going to ask questions. And then Yirmiyahu is going to give them the symbolic meaning of all of this.
Vayhid v'adonai Yirmiyahu le'emor. Ko amar Hashem tzvakot Elokei Yisrael.
Thus God has said, go to the people of Yerushalayim and of Yehuda and say, halo tikhu musar. You should learn from Bnei Rechav. Lishmod barai. Hu kama divrei Yonadab ben Rechav asher tzivak banam levilti shtot yayin. V'lo shetu ad yom hazeh. Yonadab ben Rechav, he's hundreds of years ago. And his grandchildren, great-grandchildren, great-grandchildren are still following what he asked. And he asked for very difficult things. Wine is what people drink. That's what people drink. Not to live in a home. Not to have, that's very, very difficult. It's very difficult. And this is hundreds and hundreds of years ago. And look, their family is still listening. You, Am Yisrael, Yirmiyahu says, I didn't speak to you 100 years ago. I speak to you every single day. V'anochi dibarti alechem hashkem v'daber. What's hashkem? Hashkama. Every single day. I give it. I'm not hundreds of years ago. I'm not asking difficult things. I'm asking you to kill each other. I'm not asking difficult things. I'm asking basic morality. Hashkem v'daber. I've sent my Nevi'im time and again. I'm allowing you to have a permanent light on the land. And I'm telling you that your way to guarantee is if you don't worship Avodah Zarah. I'm not asking major things. You didn't even listen.
Ki hekimu, this is a kal vachomer, you should learn. Ki hekimu bnei Yonadab ben Rechav et mitzvat avihem asher tzivam v'ha'am hazeh lo shamu elai. You're supposed to learn from, he brings them to learn from the family of Yonadab ben Rechav. A key word that repeats here is avihem, avinu, avihem, father, 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 father. Which brings us, of course, to, if you read between the lines here, it also is referring to the whole concept of kibud av. Kibud av. And we know that the Aseret HaDibrot are often divided into two categories. The first category is Bein Adam B'Makom, between God and man and God. That's Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Shabbos, bowing in the name of God, Bein Avodah Zarah, and kibud av v'em. And then the next five are Bein Adam L'Chaverot. And a well-known question that's asked is why is kabedet avicha, why is honoring one's parents part of the first unit of bein adam l'makom? It should be between man and his fellow man. So we're going to give a few explanations to this. But one possibility is one that the reason it's important to honor parents, many, many reasons. One of the reasons that's expressed in that story and in this story is one who honors one's parents will honor masoret, will honor tradition. That's what they say. If you honor, that's what they say. They honored the masoret of the father. They will honor the tradition. They honor the tradition. The reason to honor parents is so that kabedet avicha ve'et imecha
so that you don't become a murderer, so that you don't become a thief. So that, because if you'll honor the parents, you will honor Masoret. It is a Beit Adam Lacham. Rav Meidan, Moshe Shivat HaZion, is a very beautiful idea of this. Who's known to be the Mechabed Av in Tanakh? Esav. Let's look. Does he murder anybody? No, he doesn't. Esav does not murder anybody. In the pshat, he doesn't murder anybody. Is he an adulterer? In the pshat, it says he got married. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, does he steal? No. Does he lie? No. He honors parents. I'm not making him into a tzaddik. Did Yaakov respect his father? No. Now don't tell me Rivka said, Rivka, there's a concept in halakha, ein shaliach l'dvar aveira. Every person is responsible for his sins. You can't say, my kids like to say, but he told me to. He did. The lolech. Yaakov is responsible. Yaakov's going to have to pay. But there was a lacking of kibbutz av. That's pshat. There was a lacking of kibbutz av when Yaakov deceives his father. And now let's see what happens in Yaakov's family. Do we have murderers in Yaakov's family? We have the story of Shechem with Shimon and Levi. And what did the brothers want to do to Yosef? The fact that God saved him through, that's Chazdei Shamayim, but if it was up to them, he would have been dead the day. Do we have adulterers in the family of Yaakov? We have the story of Reuben and Bilha, Yehuda and Tamar. Do we have thieves in the family of Yaakov? Goned, Ishu Necharos, the only human being. What is Yosef's going to say? I was stolen from my homeland. Do we have liars? Lotan and Racha and Shaker. That's the brothers. Do we have jealousy? Lotan Vayikan Ubo Echad. Now, the greatness of the story of Yosef is that the brothers do complete tshuva. That's the greatness of the story of Yosef. But it still remains that kibud av is really what guarantees the children staying, keeping Masoret. Just want to mention a very beautiful Abarbanel on the Kabedet. What does it say in the verse? Kabedet Avicha Beti Mecha, Leman Yarichun Yamecha. Says, Leman. Now, we've always understood this. Honor your parents so that you can live a long life. Abarbanel says, no, that's not the way to understand the verse. Kabedet Avicha Beti Mecha, because you're going to get old one day. Leman Yarichun Yamecha, so that when you're old, your children will honor you to the extent that you honor your parents. Right? I'll bet. Whatever you say. That's one explanation that Abarbanel brings. If you want to, you're going to be old. Lamad Yavichun Yamecha, so that, because you're going to get old one day. And if you want your kids to honor you, that they'll honor you to the extent that you've honored your parents. That's one explanation Abarbanel brings. The other explanation is, Habez Avichabet Imecha, because you're going to get old. And people, you will forget to be ma'av, you will forget the tradition. So accept the tradition when you're young and pass it on. Pass it on before you forget, because man is going to live a long life and they'll start forgetting. And if you don't want to forget masoret, then accept their masoret and pass it on. I think they're both ideas that are reflected here, and I clearly in Sefer Yirmiyahu here, the idea of kibud av is really honoring the tradition, honoring masoret, and that's his family. Now, I want to discuss the ikar we didn't discuss here. Why does Yonadab ben Rechab give such a tzava'ah musari? Why does he tell him these are the things that you shouldn't do? What does Zayd Yonadab see? Because the main cause of Am Yisrael to sin is the lamb. That's pagans. Pagans start worshiping the natural forces. They start worshiping the land. And he says, don't own land. He recognizes what does it cause people to become the pagan. It is they view the good earth as the supply of the what is the Baal? The worship of the idol worship of the Baal. They're worshiping the rain, who was the god of thunder, was the Baal. They worship the natural forces. He says, the tzadah is you cannot holding on to the land, starting owning the land is dangerous for man. We have this from the very beginning of sacred Bereshit. We have Cain and Hevel. What is Hevel? Hevel is the shepherd. Cain is Oved Adamah, and that is where the Adamah is what causes people to sin. Eventually, what's going to be the tshuva of Am Yisrael? Is by them, they have to get off the land. They'll have to leave the land so that they could learn that it's not the land that is the provider. Sefer Hosea, the very beginning of Sefer Hosea, the Navi Hosea tells Am Yisrael that the way to fix Am Yisrael, to rewire everything in Am Yisrael, is to take them to the desert, back to the experience of the desert. That's the whole purpose of the experience, where they can completely learn that all gifts are from God, that everything that they have. The whole purpose of the 40 years experience was to really train, Lenasot, is to really train Am Yisrael that they have nothing but reliance on God. Yonadab ben Rechab, the Zaydi, recognizes that it is the land that does this. It is the vine is considered one of the greatest gifts of the land. It is the vine that does this. The permanence, the sense of permanence, is what makes man feel he is the Baal Habayit. Abayit is what makes man feel he's a Baal Abayit. Abayit is what a house makes him feel this is his accomplishment. That's one of the explanations for Sukkot. Why we leave Sukkot, to recognize that we are not the owners of the land and the owners of the home. Yonadab tells us, do not own this. If you want to guarantee to always be on the land, don't hold too dearly to the land. And they listen. What happens to Am Yisrael if we don't listen? Let's continue. I'm going to read a few more psukim in Sefer Yirmiyahu. Verse 17, those of you who have. Lachen kol ma'ashem l'chei tzvukot t'l'chei Yisrael. Hineni mevil Yehuda ve'el kol yoshvei Yerushalayim et kol ara asher dibarti alehem. Yad asher dibarti alehem ve'lo shamem v'akra alehem ve'lo anu. I'm going to bring upon Am Yisrael everything that I had decreed because they have not listened. And regarding the household of Yitro, ulevet ha'rechavim amar Yirmiyahu kol ma'ashem tzvukot t'l'chei Yisrael. Because you listen to your Zaydi. You listen to his command, not God's mitzvot. But you listen to the Yuhakim. They will continue, this is a family that will continue for many generations. Now, we don't have time for this, but the juxtaposition to the family that would be opposed to the family of Bnei Rechavim are the sons of Eli. The sons of Eli HaKohen, the ones who. The ones who reject their father. We have a similar, an opposite curse to this. That you will always die at a young age and you will never serve God. So that is a family that is the symbol of those who kick away any of their father's values. That will be a family. You know, I can't not open it. You don't even have to open it. I'll open up really quickly just so you can get a sense. Shmuel Aleph, Perek Bet. Shmuel Aleph, Perek Bet. Okay, verse 32. They're going to die at a young age. They're going to live, but live enough to die at a young age. In other words, you'll have children, but they will die at a young age. And they're considered the opposite family here. So the family later on in Sefer Yirmiyahu, that family apparently did survive exile. Whether or not they went with Am Yisrael to Galut, we don't know.
But so today they're according to their tradition, they are the Druzim.
And they refrain from wine.
What is it?
They refrain from wine.
Do they refrain? I don't know. Someone once mentioned to me that they do refrain from wine, their family. I don't know. That's something, an interesting question to check out. The Muslims, right. The Muslims do refrain from wine. And,
so we started out with Yitro from the desert, who joined Israel. And Yitro really is a family of, who opens up our eyes. That's from the very beginning. A9, Da'if Alano, A9. I think throughout, I think that's the main characteristic of the family of Yitro, is they taught Moshe Rabbeinu, taught in the time of Yirmiyahu, and they teach us the mess. What are,
what are the values? They are the Ayita Lanu Le'inayim. And with that, we've end the travelers of the family of Yitro. Shabbat Shalom. Yes.